Hi, this is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours, and this is your Monday Minutes. You know, recently I have been getting a lot of calls for patients who don't really need a 911 ambulance. You know, these are patients who are of chronic illnesses, talking about pain and discomfort for months, that just now they want to start going to an emergency room to get evaluated. Patients who feel that the doctor, their primary doctor, told them to get an x-ray, and they feel that the emergency room is where the x-ray should be getting taken. And, you know, it gets frustrating. I'm sure for every provider, this is a frustrating experience and can actually wind up leading to that burnout type of mentality, where it's, you're not so much burnt out from the traumas and the, you know, the hairy calls you're doing, you're more getting burnt out from the abuse of the system and the abuse of patients and families who feel that 911 is the end all to get them to where they need to be and get them to a doctor or get them to a hospital. And part of the problem is the patient education and what the public's perception is of what EMS is there for, what we can and can't do, but what's more important is what is best for them. A lot of people just aren't aware of what the better position and the better treatment is going to be for them, where 911 in the emergency room is not always the best treatment. You know, I always try to tell families and patients that aren't happy with what happened at an emergency room, that they didn't get the treatment that they needed. They didn't get treated the way they expect to get treated. They did nothing for me. I try to point out to them that the emergency room is not there for definitive care. You know, it's there to make sure that they're not going to die and that they're going to be able to make it to see or follow up with their personal physician. You know, and I try to remind people of that, because people kind of feel they go to the emergency room, they should walk out of the emergency room cured. And that's not always the case. And a lot of times, they go to the emergency room, the hospital makes sure there's nothing emergent going on, hence the name emergency. If there's no real emergency going on, most of the time, you're going to be getting released, you're going to be getting sent home, and be told to follow up with your personal physician, which a lot of patients wind up not doing as well, because the emergency room might give them a short run of antibiotics maybe, or some short run of painkillers, and then they don't follow their personal physician thinking that that's going to be the cure. But all the emergency room is doing is really just giving patients a chance to kind of make it until they can get an appointment with their doctor. So my tip is, when you get patients who don't really need an ambulance, or that you're getting frustrated with because they seem to be abusing the system, you know, don't get confrontational with these patients. All it's going to do is wind up getting you into either an argument with the patient, which is bad, and getting, you know, an argument with either family members or friends, which makes us look like unprofessional, and it doesn't put EMS in a good light. So, you know, and some patients, you're just not going to change their mind. You're not going to be able to educate them. You know, in their mind, 911 is their ride to the hospital, is their access to medical services. And those patients, you know, you're not going to really be able to educate them, at least not in the short term. Okay. Some of my tips and things that I suggest to do is to go ahead and try to give the patient and family members ideas or tips that might be better for them. You know, for the patient and, you know, for them as a whole. And, you know, talk about things like, you know, suggestion about going to a private doctor, going to those treatment release type facilities, you know, maybe getting visiting nursing into the home, all those types of things that you're not going to be able to cure the patient right then and there. You're not going to be able to handle that right then and there. But it's a type of tips and ideas you can give to the family and give to the patient that can help them further on down the line in the future. Of course, you can take that patient at that time to the hospital and take care of their immediate need, okay, or their immediate request. But for the future, you want to be able to go ahead and remind patients that they do have other options available to them. You know, the clinics, the treatment release centers, some doctors still do house calls, and even visiting nurse type, you know, treatment as well. Whatever the patient is allowed to have via their insurance or that's available to them, but let them know that there are other options out there, and all they have to do is do some research to go ahead and figure out what that is. And a lot of times the research is just simply contacting their primary care physician, who can go ahead and give them contacts for that type of situation, you know, for extended type care. something else you can try to give them ideas of too is you know, kind of remind them of the billing issues. You know, a lot of insurance company will not pay for ambulance transport, will not pay for emergency room visits if it's not an emergency, if they feel that whatever's going on is not a true emergency. And sometimes reminding them that, you know, they're going to be getting billed $600 to $2,000 for an ambulance ride that they might not have needed, okay, they might think twice next time when they call 911. You know, some places that I've worked has actually had us had the patient in those situations that may not be qualified for their insurance to pay the ambulance bill would be to sign a form saying that they acknowledge the fact that the insurance company may not pay this bill because they don't require an ambulance transport and that they may be required to pay the ambulance bill. And the same thing goes for the hospital. Sometimes the hospital as well may not get reimbursed by insurance companies if it's deemed that the patient didn't really need an emergency room visit. And this isn't the hospital's responsibility. It winds up being back on the patient or the family. Sometimes reminding them of that and that potential of them being responsible for these hundreds or thousands of dollars in billing might make them think twice and might make them reconsider when they call 911 the next time for a non-emergent issue. And finally, safety concerns. Now, most of the time, there's not a lot of safety concerns when it comes to patients and us transporting them to the hospital, but there is an element of being exposed to a lot of other illnesses and sickness that a patient that might have, you know, especially elderly patients who might have a lowered immune response, taking them to an emergency room where they're going to be exposed to things that they might get exposed to if they go to their private physician, go to a clinic, or go to a treatment release type center for a non-emergent type of a complaint. And reminding them of that and that potential might also kind of keep that in their mind, that do they want to go ahead and go for that annoying leg pain they've had for, you know, for 2 months to the emergency room where they can just go to their private physician in the morning or go to a clinic in the morning and pretty much get the same treatment there, save the money, not be exposed to other illnesses or sicknesses, and keep them in and out, actually get their treatment a lot faster than sitting in the emergency room for 4 or 5 hours to get the same treatment. Now, of course, you know, this is kind of a catch-22. People might say, well, you don't know what's going on. You should take them to the hospital no matter what. And I do agree that a lot of times I'm much more apt to take patients to the hospital no matter what their complaint is because they call 911, but I try to be a patient advocate and educate them for the next time. And I try to educate them to, you know, let them also know that even though if they feel it is a true emergency, by all means to call 911, but, you know, we all have to use our common sense, and that if we don't really think it's a real emergency and it's something that's been going on for months at a time, that they probably can go to their primary care physician or to some type of a clinic or treatment release and get the same treatment at the ER probably a lot faster and probably with a lot less billing and a lot less financial cost than if they call 911 and the ambulance. So, you know, sometimes you can't train, you can't, you know, educate these patients, and nothing you can really do about it, you know, and when that happens, I say give up. So you're not going to be able to go ahead and change these patients' mind, you know, in this one encounter with them. But this kind of, what it should do, though, is get you to think about how EMS can actually change the public perception of what we actually do, what we're actually capable of, going beyond just that EMS week get together where you give out lollipops, give out coloring books, and show people how to do CPR. It has to go beyond that so that the communities at large can get trained into what we actually do and what we're capable of. And you should start thinking when you get patients that you just can't get to, you just can't connect and make them realize what we're there for and what better services they can actually get through clinics and primary care physicians than at the ER. You know, those are the patients you have to kind of give up, do your job, and start thinking about the broader aspect of how we can change EMS and how we can get our message out to the public on what we do and what we're actually capable of and how we can better serve them as a whole. You know, I actually saw a post about this, and I commented on a blog post about this over at the Social Medic as well. I'm going to put the link to that below. You can go check that out and read his comments on similar situations like this and what I wrote below that as well. Well, I hope you can get something out of this Monday Minutes. This Monday Minutes has been a little bit longer than usual, but maybe you can use them in your day-to-day EMS activities. Maybe they're going to help you in your patient care. You know, if you have some minutes of your own, be sure to comment below or send me your thoughts direct to Jay Hoffman at ems-safety.com. Until next next Monday. This is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.